you ever had the experience of loving someone, a friend or a relative, very much, and you can just see them walking headlong towards something that you know is going to be a complete car crash? It is so painful to see. You long to shout out to them, it doesn't have to be like this. And you long to turn them back to Jesus, but you know through bitter experience that shouting at them doesn't work. I entitled the talk this evening, How to Lead Someone to Jesus, because I think there's so much wisdom in the passage that we've just heard on this. James, the letter that James has written, is famous for being about faith in action. No navel gazing, get up, get on with it. If you've got faith, let's see it lived out. His belief is that faith produces fruit, so get up and get on with it. I want to look at three things tonight. Firstly, to demonstrate that we all have a hole in our hearts that only Jesus can meet. Secondly, in our evangelism, no surrender, no retreat. And I'll unpack that in a moment. And lastly, trusting in the slow work of God and looking at the character of Elijah as James references in order to do this. Because reaching other people for Jesus is part of the greatest thing we will ever be involved in. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. But how? How do we do that in an effective way without turning people off completely? We know that only Jesus meets our deepest need. We must not surrender, and we must trust in the slow work of God. So firstly, meeting us in our deepest needs. We all have that hole in our heart. Some of you know that I've had a very strange and varied career prior to becoming a vicar. And I first started out in public relations, and there was a bit of sort of sales training involved in that. And I've got a pen somewhere. One of the things we were taught was, sell me this pen. And you sort of pick it up and you think, well, it's a very nice blue pen. It's kind of shiny. There's a nice sort of logo on the side, and it writes quite well. And you sort of put the pen down, and then someone hands you a piece of paper and says, write something down for me. There's something really powerful about assuring people that the need that all of us have deep down will be filled by Jesus. We have the pen. We have the pen. And we can offer it freely to anyone who has ears to hear. A few years ago, a pro boxer called Hector Macho Camacho was being interviewed on TV, and he was bragging about his wild past, his prowess at being a father at the age of 15, his drugs, his partying lifestyle. And the presenter said to him, don't you think that you, as a sports hero, have an obligation to be a role model for our young people? Camacho snapped back, look, I did my dirt, but I ain't no Hitler. Less than 2 years later, he died from injuries sustained in a drive-by shooting in Puerto Rico. And his response, actually, although extreme, is kind of typical of the normal human response. Look, I've got my faults, but I'm not that bad. I'm not a sinner. And yet, I wonder if he had really looked at himself, looked at the things he did and said and thought, if he wouldn't have just felt something nagging deep down, some kind of shame or darkness that he would have really liked to have shaken off. We are all sinners. And that is not a criticism. It is just the way we are. We are human and broken and fallible, and we all do things that we're not that proud of. What we all have in common, in addition to this, is the potential to be saved by the radical love and grace of Jesus. The biggest misunderstanding in the Christian faith is that it's about being a good person. It is not about being a good person. That is the outworking of a relationship with Jesus, but it is about knowing that we are saved by grace, that he has wiped the slate clean, and we are free to walk in him. And sin separates us from God and separates us from the people that we love the most in the world, because we're built for connection. We thrive on being known and being loved. And that's what God longs for us, to be known and to be loved by him. And sin puts a block in the way of that. So we want to share that we've got the pen. We know the way home with people who don't know that love, but we must do it motivated by love. I preached a couple of weeks ago on the power of our words. We must be gentle and encouraging and trust that seeds of transformation will be sown deep, deep, deep down in someone's heart, even if we don't see them. There is power in our loving and gentle words. And we can trust that the Holy Spirit is at work. We cannot make Christians. We can't. We simply can't. That is between a person and their maker. But we can pray. We can gently point and we can pray. And the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, it's like a deposit. It's like a guarantee. God puts a down payment on us and says, that one belongs to me. That one is my child. And we're children of God if we've said yes to him. And there is real power in the Spirit. There is power to turn fear into faith, to turn doubt into belief, to turn defeat into victory, and to take a lost and broken sinner like that boxer and turn him into a disciple filled with hope for the future. So we pray for the Spirit to come. And we pray for our friends, those that don't know him. So firstly, there is a hole in our hearts, all of us, and we know that the only one who can fulfill that need is Jesus and a relationship with him. Secondly, no surrender, no retreat. Now, what do I mean by that? What I don't mean is go and badger your friends into becoming Christians. That does not work. Don't go and pester people. Don't go and chase people down. It is not effective, and it's not what Jesus did. The stained glass window behind us reads, "Come unto me." His arms were open and wide, and he invited people. But he didn't chase after them. He didn't chase them down. I think so often we're hard on people, particularly actually the people that we love the most. Ironically, we're really hard on people and a bit soft in our prayer lives. And actually, we need to be really soft and loving and gentle with people and doggedly persist in our prayer lives. Persist in our prayer lives. Gently share our faith. Assure people the hole in your heart can be met by Christ. Here's what he's done for me. And we persist in prayer. Elijah was very aware of the great cosmic spiritual battle that he was involved in, and his weapon of choice was prayer. He prayed for it not to rain, and for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Cast your mind back to the most famous story around Elijah. He challenges the prophets of Baal. Now, if you don't know, Baal was one of the idol gods of the day and had a large following of people. And Elijah said to the followers of Baal, "What can your idol do? What can your idol do? Here's an altar. Here's a sacrifice. Here's a wooden altar. Let's call down fire and see which God answers that prayer. The true God will answer that prayer." So the prophets of Baal jump up and they sing to Baal and they dance and they cut themselves until they bleed, but Baal remains silent. Nothing happens. Elijah calls his servants and they bring 12 barrels of water to the wooden altar and pour the water everywhere. Why? I can think of two reasons. My simple offering is this: water makes it harder for it to catch fire. It's really as simple as that. And secondly, remember, there had been no rain for 3.5 years. They must have had reserves of water somewhere that they were using, and 12 barrels of their precious reserves is quite a statement of faith. That's quite a big stand saying, I'm going to trust God here. They were digging into their reserve supplies. Really important thing to notice. Elijah isn't challenging God. He has faith in God. He's challenging the people. He's challenging us to have faith. He knew God was going to come through. That wasn't the question. The question was to the people. Will you have faith in this mighty God? And the fire comes. And it burns up the altar. And the water is gone and the soil is scorched around it. This is a huge spiritual victory for Elijah. This is huge ground broken. And perhaps you've had that experience where you have been praying and praying and praying for someone and you see them come to faith in Christ. And it's the most extraordinary feeling. It's the deepest privilege and the greatest honor to walk someone to faith in Jesus. Now, you would think that Elijah would be full of it after this, full of joy, full of energy, full of life. But what we hear in Scripture is this. Elijah was afraid of Ahab and Jezebel. They were the king and queen who worshipped Baal at the time. And he ran for his life. He came to a bush. He sat down under it. And he prayed that he might die. Elijah was broken before the Lord, saying, I'm done. I'm done. I've had enough. This is not what I signed up for. He was experiencing depths of fatigue and discouragement. And I'm sure over the last year and a half, we have all had that feeling at one time or another. And this happens, interestingly, immediately after a huge spiritual victory. So God sends Elijah to rest and to eat before he continues his ministry. And so must we. So must we. If we are to minister effectively to the people we love in our lives, we must make sure that we are resting, that we are eating, that we are receiving. We must devote ourselves daily to God. We have to carve out time, whatever that looks like for you, to be devoted to the Lord and to receive from him. We need to down tools once a week. Scripture calls it a Sabbath. We need to take one day at least a week to down tools, to be with the people we love, to do the things that are life-giving for us if we are to minister effectively. And we are to detach once a year. However long that takes, we are to take the time that it takes to detach from the things that are draining for us. And to receive and to be restored. We devote daily, down tools once a week, and detach completely once a year. And then we are likely to be far more effective in the kingdom of God. There will always be people who don't know Jesus. Always. The work is never finished. So the need must not dictate. The need must not dictate. The Holy Spirit will guide us to the ministry that he is calling us to. We cannot do everything. That's God's job. That is his job alone. We are to pray, receive, be filled with the Spirit, receive his guidance, and then serve in the area he is calling us to serve in. So Elijah sleeps. He rests. He is restored, and an angel comes. And the angel gives him bread and water and says, get up, eat, for there is a long journey ahead of you. And it's only then that Elijah prays for rain. And he says to his servant, go and look out and tell me if you see rain coming. And the servant goes and there's nothing. And he comes back and he says, I don't see any clouds. So Elijah persists in prayer. He persists in prayer. No surrender, no retreat. He persists in prayer. And seven times he sends his servant out. He must have felt pretty discouraged at some point in that. And yet he persists in prayer. And finally, the servant comes back. and says, I saw a little cloud about the size of a fist rising above the sea. Now, I freely admit I have freakishly small hands, but a fist is not big. A cloud the size of a fist rising above the sea. And what's Elijah's response? Let's hang about a bit longer, see if we get any more. No. He says, go and tell Ahab before the rain stops him. That is mind-blowing faith. That is extraordinary. And sure enough, the sky grows black and the clouds roll in. No surrender, no retreat. We persist in prayer. We pray for those who do not yet know Jesus. And thirdly, we trust in the slow work of God. I'm stealing this directly from Ignatian spirituality, which I love, by the way. So firstly, there's a hole in everyone's heart. We know what meets that need. We know what meets that need. And we can show that to people lovingly, gently, with our words. No surrender, no retreat. We persist in prayer. We're gentle and loving with people, and we persist doggedly in prayer. And we walk with faith every day, with faith in the love of God. That when we pray, these are not words that are just thrown into a desolate wasteland. And you know, I freely confessed, it does feel like that sometimes. But that's not what happens in prayer. In prayer, we are in communion with the one who loves us more than any other. It is a conversation. It's a two-way thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, the author of Hebrews tells us. The evidence of things unseen. We have not yet seen these things, but we choose faith. We choose faith. And we pray for people who don't know Jesus with faith in our hearts. We pray, God, I believe that what I'm praying for, you will bring to completion. We can't do this, that's God's job. But we join with him when we pray. You will bring this to completion. Pray with faith in your heart. We serve, we speak when appropriate, and we pray. And it is the Holy Spirit that brings this work to fruition. Trust in the slow work of God. And remember that God is relationship. He is relational. He is love. We could talk and talk and talk all day about Jesus, but it will be far more effective if we cultivate true, deep, lasting, and loving relationships with the people in our lives. And then when the time is right, we have permission to speak because we've invested in them first. That's how Alpha works. You demonstrate to people that we love you exactly as you are. We build relationships, real, meaningful relationships with people first. Then there's permission to speak. Our lives should shine the love of God in the way that we speak about other people, in the way we speak about our enemies. That love of God has the power to emanate from us. And the very best witness we can offer is not force. Jesus never forced anybody. Far better that we engage in a campaign of fascination. When we feed the hungry, leave them asking why. When we offer a cup of water to someone who is thirsty, leave them asking why. When someone is cold and we give them a coat, they're going to want to know why. Why? Because we know the good news. Because we know the person of Jesus. And we are to be good news to other people. And make them wonder why. And trust in the slow work of God. Because pointing to Jesus is one of the greatest works we have been entrusted with. And every single believer has this responsibility. God has called each and every one of us, if you know Jesus, to this ministry. And it is such a joy. It is such a joy to be part of. So as Elijah did, we must assure people that it is relationship with God that will fill the emptiness in our souls. And with love and with gentleness, we can point to him. We don't surrender and we don't retreat. We never give up in prayer. We trust as Elijah trusted in prayer. Remember that tiny fist of a cloud. We trust in prayer. And we allow the slow work of God. We live lives filled with love, speaking well of others, witnessing the truth, and we trust because ultimately it is the Spirit of God that will bring someone to faith in him. There is no greater joy than watching someone encounter Jesus for the very, very first time, or for the first time in a really long time, or going to a deeper level than they've ever been before. Jesus came as the bridge between those that were lost and the Father. And he invites us to build this bridge and to strengthen it and to be part of restoring the kingdom. So just as Elijah did, I invite you to pray with me now. Let's pray. I invite you to lift someone that you know to be lost and searching before the Lord. And engage now in a spiritual wrestle on their behalf. Father, we trust these people to your care. You love them more than we can begin to imagine. We pray that they would come to know your arms of never-ending love around them. For the glory of your name. Amen.